All right, let's get started with the next debate, which is, should licenses be designed to advance general social goals? We have John Sullivan, Molly DeBlanc, James Mazil, Josh Simmons, Destry Noll. So I will give the mic to
I'm first.
John Sullivan, who's going to start. Fabulous. The first affirmative. Okay.
I have a mic, right? Do I have a mic? It's working? Is this working? I would hand it to you, but it will burn me if I touch it. Let me get my timer in.
You go right side.
Yeah.
Literally and metaphorically.
We're live. Okay. Hello, everybody. I'm John Sullivan, the Executive Director and Vice President of the Free Software Foundation. But like the slide says, what I'm saying here has no relation to what I actually think individually or what the FSF thinks. I want to say that in the November issue of the FSF Bulletin newsletter, I actually wrote an article that starts to try and address some of these topics. So if you're looking for what I actually think, that's a good place to look. But I very much appreciate this debate format. I think it helps me understand other people's feelings, perspectives, and positions a lot better. It helps me determine my own positions. It helps improve my critical thinking, and believe me, that needs a lot of improvement. So with all that in mind, Molly Dash and I stand resolved that, yes, licenses should be designed to advance general social goals. We're discussing this topic because there have been multiple new licenses written, which are largely in the spirit of free software, in that they allow much more sharing, modification, and use than typical default copyright law allows. But they also include provisions seeking to prevent certain harms to society, the environment, humanity. And we're not here to necessarily defend any of the particular licenses or even the idea that the best approach is to tackle these problems through individual separate licenses. But I want to run down some quick examples of some of the recent ones and the harms that they're seeking to address, kind of set the stage for what we're talking about. So we have the problem of climate change, which, as we know, will end the planet unless we do something. Citation needed, sure, but look at the weather outside at FOSDEM. That's not right. We all know it. The atmosphere license that Lewis mentioned seeks to address this by requiring you to divest certain kinds of investments and fossil fuels if you want to use the software, the precondition. Second of all, we have labor exploitation. The NT996 license, which is immensely popular, I think it's the number two starred project on GitHub right now, says you cannot use the software unless you comply with good labor standards, which do not include forcing your employees to work 9 a.m. to 9 p.m. 6 days a week. Licenses are supposed to ensure that people have freedom while using the software. But can we really say that people being forced to work 72 hours a week have the freedom necessary to have the freedom to modify, share, distribute software, as compared to the people who have power over them, who can, in fact, use that software to enhance their exploitation over the people they already had some amount of control over? And we have vaccines. We have infectious diseases. We know they have caused massive amount of death over history. That's why we have vaccines and why people take them. People refusing to take vaccines put other people at risk of dying. The vaccine license says you have to get vaccinated and make sure that everybody under your legal control also gets vaccinated before you can use the software. The final example I have is militarization, that militaries and police departments are actually using free software to violate other people's rights and kill them. That's not good. So various licenses seek to forbid that specific use of the software or distribution to entities known to engage in that kind of activity. We need to be alive, and we need to be reasonably healthy in order to have any kind of meaningful freedom when we're interacting with software. If we're dead, we don't have software freedom, nor if we're melting or drowning from sea level rise. We also need to be free in other ways in order to be able to exercise our software freedom. And we need our militaries and we need our police forces to behave ethically in order to have a democratic society to begin with. So what we're seeing with these licenses is that, you know, first of all, they use the law to prevent the software from being used directly for bad things. And second of all, they're doing things to create incentives or leverage to discourage bad behavior and encourage good behavior. You can't use the software unless you act in a certain way, which is beneficial to society and important for avoiding really catastrophic kinds of harm. And yes, there are other ways to address these problems. There are laws. There's economic incentives, our purchasing power, boycotts, things like that. But just because there are other tools doesn't mean we shouldn't use all the tools that we have available, especially when the consequences are so extreme. And especially because we can use multiple things in parallel. They don't compete with each other. And in fact, people are turning to software licenses because other kinds of tools are not working or are not working fast enough. And software licenses are something that individuals have very direct control over and also make a very clear statement. If you decide not to buy, McDonald's does not know that I do not eat at McDonald's, I promise you. That is not sending them any kind of message. But if I put their name in a software license and they see that, then they know exactly what kind of behavior, you know, I or another developer is objecting to. And let's remember also that companies aren't people. They don't have individual rights because they don't have the accountability that comes with an individual right either. And also, even when it comes to individuals, we accept certain kinds of restrictions on our freedom in the interest of private, in the interest of safety and security. You can't shout fire in a crowded theater, and you can't use my software to destroy the planet. These licenses indicate that people are very interested in the ethics of technology and software, things that are, you know, at the heart of free software. So to tell these new ethical hackers to get off our lawn and go read gnu.org/philosophy is not going to help. We should encourage their participation even if we think that it might be imperfect. And, you know, maybe if we listen instead of talk, then if we're welcoming, these social goal licenses will end up being a stepping stone towards traditional free licenses. Like some people argue that Creative Commons non-commercial licenses are a way to get people more accustomed to the idea of sharing their work more, and then eventually they become more comfortable enough to use fully free licenses. And, you know, sure, there might be some problems with this approach. The negative team will tell us all about them. But I don't think these problems will be world-ending or threatening the planet on a global scale. And I think the problems that we're talking about actually are. So we better try harder, and we should use licenses to do it.
John does eat at McDonald's sometimes.
I don't believe.
Who would like to do the cross? Okay, I'll get him a mic.
Okay. All very, very persuasive. The first question that I have for you draws on a question that came up a little earlier in the previous discussion, which is how do we handle shifting norms around ethics? Because sometimes ethics shift in a positive direction, sometimes they regress, mm-hmm. and that depends on where you are in the world as well. If we are to codify ethics in a license, How do we make room for the fact that those things are going to drift over time? As they are.
Yeah, I think that's a fair question, but I don't think it's that much different from how we deal with that in our laws. You know, and I think that licenses, in fact, are more flexible than many other kinds of instruments that try to address ethical questions. You know, religious texts, foundational philosophical texts, statutes. These things all have to be revisited, and I think that we've had the benefit of living with software licenses, free software licenses that have had great staying power and been around for a long time, but it, you know, it doesn't necessarily have to be that way. We could put out a new edition of the GPL every year.
That sounds very representative. Along those same lines, how do we, if we are to make room for advancing general social goals through licenses, mm-hmm. How do we prevent regressive ethics from entering those licenses? So,
what do you mean by regressive?
So, a license that may be given the culture that it's created in might restrict reproductive autonomy, for instance.
Uh-huh. Well, I think it's kind of similar to the first question in that, you know, ethics are their territory for disagreement, and we have to have ways to, you know, have conversations about that. And on one hand, you know, licenses, there's other people will not use them unless they agree with the stances that are taken there. So there's kind of the basic democracy aspect, and then maybe we have bodies that are responsible for, you know, that are end up being trusted for making decisions about which kinds of provisions are acceptable in licenses and which aren't, and the conversations can happen under their umbrella.
So lastly, as we pursue more ethical technology and a more just world, which are all laudable goals, how do we weigh against the unintended consequences, knowing that there are projects that are built on the foundations of the four freedoms and the open source definition today that are making a dent in these problems? How do we know that adding ethics to the licenses will not adversely detract from those efforts that already exist?
Well, we have to. I mean, that's kind of the question about keeping them up to date and revising them, I think. Thanks, Josh.
Thank you.
And
so who wants to do the first negative? Do you like that one?
This is fine. Okay. I think I'll get fired now.
I'm so glad to hear that we're ready for GPLv4. I have some ideas.
7 minutes of it.
So it has become fashionable to start this talk with a disclaimer that, you know, I don't really believe any of the things I'm about to say. I barely mean these words as they come out of my mouth. You cannot hold me to them at any point in time. So we've had a lot of community discussion over the last few months around this question of what is the role of ethics in licenses? What is the right place to locate ethics in our community? And nobody up here, and probably nobody in the audience, thinks that there is a reason why we should not have any ethics at all in the work that we do. And the question really today is just, why would we put them in licenses, or why wouldn't we put them in licenses? And our position on this side of the stage is that the licenses are the wrong place to put the ethics, because there are better places, and putting the ethics in the licenses makes your job harder, not easier. It's not only less effective than some of these other ways of going about it, it's ineffective. So let me talk about that a little bit, right? We have all of these licenses, right? And I know people in this room really care about licenses, but I don't give a shit about licenses. I think licenses are kind of stupid. I've spent a lot of time thinking about them, I've spent a lot of time working on them, and I regret every second of it. I have wasted years of my life thinking about the least consequential end of the free and open source software world. Right? The magic in the freedom we get is not in the freedom, it's what we do with it. It's in the collaboration that we have. It's in the people we meet, we talk to, we work with. We get to do things together that are greater than what we could ever do alone. And it's not because of licenses. We don't really use